Welcome to Reconsider. I'm Bill Hartman. This is the podcast to challenge you to ask better questions, to look beyond traditional models of thinking, and arrive at better health and fitness solutions.
So maybe we try to play this game of simplifying the model. I know it's
can't.
Like, yeah, okay, all right.
You can't.
I knew you were going to say that. So like,
why should it be simple?
See, because like people, okay. People need to learn stuff,
and that's painful.
I understand.
It's painful to learn. It's painful to learn.
If you want to elicit a change in somebody, you have to make it. It has to be their idea. Okay, let's talk about how to win friends and influence people. It has to be their idea. It has to be spoken in their language, and it needs to eventually become their idea for it to become a permanent fixture, like in their paradigms.
I've read the book myself.
I know. I'm not saying this because I'm teaching you anything.
I believe that's in section 3,
as we're reviewing. So book. if anyone that's part of the UHP network knows that we have a book club that we're starting, and the first book is How to Win Friends and Influence People. So if you want to be a part of that book club and you're not part of the UHP network, uhpnetwork.mn.co, and that's my plug right in the first minute of the podcast that Bill didn't know that we started recording. Yeah,
Chris, my life is being recorded. So let's be realistic.
It's secretly what you wanted. You wanted to be part of a rock star documentary series about Bill Hartman's life. We poll the people in the network, and I mean I poll the people in the network. We're trying to find like questions about like when people find this model, they find it useful, they see its efficacy in what they do, they try to explain it to other people. Try to get other people to become interested in the model. A lot of times someone might say that it's too complicated or it's too complex or these things seem too dogmatic. So the concept that I think we should try to tackle today is like, how do we simplify the model? Almost like in terms of an elevator pitch, a short sales pitch, a way to explain to someone that hasn't adopted these ideas of why it might be something for them to consider or why they should reconsider what they're doing and try to adopt some of these principles. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. So a couple of things. Number one, why should it be simple? Right now, are people like successful across the board with this simple frame of reference that they're already using? And I would say probably not. Now, there are certain things that you can if then your way through things, but do you really have an understanding of the why at any level of depth? And that's where you become the great problem solver.
Right.
Versus the guy that just does stuff. Because you and I have been to the courses where all you get is like this vomitous load of stuff without a coherent framework from which to work. And then but at least you learn something new that you can do with your clients on Monday.
Right? Yeah.
And so that gives you the individual, the coaches are getting bored with the things that they're doing because they find that they have to do a lot of the same stuff over and over again. But that's actually a reality. That's just part of what we do. But to try to oversimplify something might give you like the lowest level of understanding, but an incomplete framework from which to work to actually get better, like to build upon.
Right.
And that's the concern that I have is that when you think about all the different rules that you've been exposed to in your career. And it's like, I got to learn this thing, and then I have to learn this thing, and then I have to learn this thing, and I have to learn this thing, rather than having things that are actually totally related to one another and a level of understanding, like literally building your level of understanding. So, okay, I learned this level. right? And then I build on that. And then that gives me more and more detail. And then the next level gives me more and more detail versus being scattered all over the place. Like when we talk about recapturing relative motions with certain types of activities, people immediately make an assumption. It's like, oh, they're laying down on the floor. They're going to be in certain positions, and they have to move the knee in this direction, and they have to put a hand in this direction. When I say, I can do it with a medicine ball throw because I'm following the principle that you just explained on somebody doing a grounded exercise. So I see those things as exactly the same thing, just in a different context. So rather than saying, oh, I have to learn medicine ball throws and I have to understand this, it's like, understand the principles, and then you just apply those same principles regardless of the activity. And if you follow those principles, then you achieve a similar result in a different context at a different level of intensity, right? And that's the goal. The goal is to create a framework that is coherent. And that's all it really is. So it's no more complicated than trying to learn 25 different things out of context and then trying to formulate how are these things related. Like when you write a program, it's like, how do you know what to do? How do you write a coherent program? Or are you just doing a scatter plot of stuff? Right. And saying, well, that's programming. Because that's what we all did at the beginning. Like, we all did that. When we wrote programs, when we were like a first year out, I just started my business. We all wrote those programs that were just stuff. It's like we took like an idea from so and so. We took another idea from so and so. We took another idea from so and so. Right. And we said, oh, I'm just going to put that into a program because the client doesn't know any different. They're just doing whatever they're told to do. And then the question mark becomes, it's like, really, are you doing your client the greatest deal of justice? And like I said, we all go through it. It's like, I look back at programs from 5 years ago and I still throw open my mouth a little bit, right? It's like, I could have done so much better with that one. And if I go back 20 years, I didn't want to look at it. Like I talk about, I just want to punch myself in the face. Like those programs were, at the time, good for what I was capable of understanding and capable of what it was doing. And I wasn't killing people, but I could have done so much better for them had I understood what I understand now. And everybody goes through that. It's like if you're not better, you know, 20 years after the fact, then you haven't been, you know, you're doing yourself justice, let alone your clients. But we can be better with a much more coherent framework. And that's why I talk funny. And then that's why we talk about certain aspects over and over and over again, because they're all principle based. It's like, how do I go on 200 coffee calls and answer questions? Because I'm answering those questions based on principles. And then I have a lot of experience that's associated with the different facets of application. And so I have a lot of things to draw from. But if you understood the depth of the principles, you could do kind of the same thing.
Yeah, because it's all the same stuff. It's this. It comes back to this. So first, I'm going to take 10 steps back, which are actually 10 steps forward. That's a joke that Bill and I. There are no steps in reverse.
There are no steps backwards.
You can't move backwards, folks. Sorry, can't do it. So when you're trying to just like offering this model out into the universe, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't receptive to it, because those are the people who are already complacent and have already settled into what they do. They've been working in their clinic for 25 years. They do the same stuff that they did when they graduated college, or they graduated in 2004. They get 80% of the way there. There's a couple exceptions to these rules that they have and the stuff that they do, but they just kind of like throw that away. They don't really care so much about that, like 30% of the time that they can't make a change, because it's just like, you know, whatever, on to the next one. And they go on living their lives like that, and they have their careers like that. These aren't the people that you should try to introduce this model to, because they're not, it's just going to fall on deaf ears, and they are going to be the type that say, oh, that sounds too dogmatic, or that sounds too complicated, which is another way of saying that sounds different than what I currently do that I like to do. That gets me most of the way there. So the things that you want to find are, you're going to need to find people that are having these sort of struggling moments. They have these exceptions to these rules that they've they were given and that they've used, and it's starting to bother them. Like, they don't want to settle. They're the people who are going to be the 16 percenters. They're the innovators and early adopters of things. And they right. see this lack of, you keep saying it, we talk about it a lot. They see this lack of coherence in what they do and what they see. So they need to be able to, they need to be offered these ideas as like a way to have a framework that will allow you to look at, like you're saying, you're getting all of these questions. You're getting, you know, 5-6 questions on 200 calls. So you got 1,200 different questions, which someone might look at on paper and be like, how is Bill answering these 1,200 disparate things? It's like, because they're all the same thing. You're using a framework and model that is built on like these coherent universal principles, so that a rolled ankle is the same as you dislocating your thumb trying to get up from playing with your grandkids, which is the same as you like slipping and falling and hurting your neck when you tried to do this. It's like the rules of propulsion are the same. How we move is very limited in options, right? And strategies.
Correct.
So we can just use this framework for everything. But it's that whole, like, what is it, like the valley of complexity, where like in the beginning everything is like super easy, you know everything, you can help everybody, like you're the top dog, and then you get into this valley of complexity where everything seems impossible, you're just like trying to figure everything out, and then when you're on the other end of it, it's like everything is easy again.
Yeah. Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
It's the Bruce Lee quote.
People on the front end of that valley who just stay there forever, right? They know everything. Yeah. They know enough. They're settled with what they do. They're just going to ride it out. They've got a very mm-hmm. mediocre life. They're very happy with their mediocre life. They help enough people to sleep at night. And then you have these people that what you want to try to offer this model to are going to be the people that are in, they're in the shit. I'll believe myself. I need to. But they're in the thick of it. They see all this complexity. They have all these rules that like seem like, and they have these models and these principles that they're drawing from other frameworks. And there's all these exceptions to rules. And they're like, they can't be this complicated. Like, there's got to be a better way. Those are the people you want to offer this to.
You don't have to change. You don't have to change what you do.
Yeah.
What the model provides is the reasoning behind why you would do something based on the circumstance, based on the context, based on the structure of the individual. That's it. It's just the framework that says, if you have this situation with this structure in this context, it would behoove you to do something that fits into this framework coherently.
Right. Yeah. And knowing those things and realizing that, like, it influences the probability of certain outcomes.
And that's a tough one to swallow for a lot of people, too.
Sure.
Because a lot of people will be absolutists and they'll say, hey, if you got this problem, do this.
Yeah.
And that's like every video on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. And here, like, I'll make up a for instance. So someone measures someone wide, right? They say that, oh, this person's being pulled down on the left because they're wide and they're on a right oblique and all of this stuff. And they say, I did this exercise because it's what you're supposed to do with someone who is a wide on a right oblique that's being pulled down on the left. And it didn't work. So, but it should work 100% of the time. So why didn't it work? And it's like, that's given the information that you have gathered, the probability of you doing that activity and getting a positive outcome is higher, but that doesn't mean that it's going to work 100% of the time. And when it doesn't is when you have to use your decision-making skills. Shout out to the decision-making course.
There you go.
To be able to kind of walk back, what are the things that could be happening? You know, like think about like counterfactuals, like what, use your imagination to figure out what are the other things that could be happening. And it might involve you going all the way back to the beginning of your process. And that might reveal to yourself that like, oh, I measured this person as a wide, but they were just a very compressed narrow that looked like a widening of the lower angle of the rib cage. which can happen sometimes, right? Like if I bend the ribs, if I bend the ribs enough, they start to look wide. Sure. I see it a lot when people will sit in these are cases that I've been sent as well. It's like, oh, this tennis athlete. Anytime someone sends me a tennis player and they say they're wide, I just immediately go like, it's like how long?
I can think of one wide tennis player, and that was from like the 1970s and 80s.
And they serve like this.
Yeah, he looked like a linebacker more than a tennis player.
If someone sends me a picture of someone whose arm is overhead serving here, I'm not thinking that. That's never my first, you know, inkling. Yeah. But anyways, so it's like that. Yeah. You think about like maybe something, some piece of information leading you up to this outcome wasn't the right piece of information. I don't even remember what I started talking about.
You were on a roll. It was great. It was great.
But so we're talking about like people that would say, we're talking about what the question is, like what to say to someone who's questioning how complicated the model seems or how dogmatic it might seem. It's like, yeah, there are certain rules for any framework or model that we're trying to honor as we use them. Right. So it's like, I think what people are looking for are just tools to add to their currently established toolbox, right? They want to just add little bits and tips and nuggets on top of what they already do because they don't want to have to change how they think.
That's the hard part. I mean, that's the hardest part. I mean, it was difficult for me.
This is not.
I mean, you've been around long enough that you've seen part of that process.
I remember the text messages. I remember the text message chain. I remember our friend Cody Benz showing me a text that you had sent in a group text to him and some others that was like, I have to change everything. I'm starting over all over again. And everyone was like, is Bill about to like jump off the pitch? Is Bill okay? The question was like, is Bill okay? And that was like 2006, maybe
something like that.
2000? No, was it?
It's like 10. It's like 2010.
Yeah, I think it was 2010.
Probably 2010. Yeah. No, there was a conversation that, and Eric Iyer will remember this as well, because we were driving in a rental car and we were totally silent, and then I said out loud, everything matters, and he's like, yeah. And then we had this great dinner conversation that sort of like was this impetus of like, okay, we got to just start thinking this through again. Like literally go back to square one and reconstruct the whys and the hows. And that's basically what we've done.
Right? Yeah. And I
understand that it's painful. Like I truly understand. It's like to think differently is painful. To not be correct. Right. To look at yourself as like, I've been doing this wrong is very painful. And there's resistance to that. Like there was I had resistance to it. It's like, I didn't want to be wrong. And it's like, I went back and it's like, no, this is what that meant. Oh, now I have a better understanding. Now I know when to apply this instead of just randomly. Like back in the day, in clinic, I used to just drop these manual therapy bombs on people and I was getting really good success. But it wasn't done in a coherent manner. It was like just doing this like a lot of broad strokes, right? And getting favorable responses. But my percentages could have been so much better had I had a little bit more coherence in my thought process versus just kind of just running people through the manual therapy ringer.
Yeah, because that's a lot of less, you know, if a lot of people find that these 10 manual therapy techniques seem to work 80% of the time, they're just going to do those 10 manual therapy techniques for everybody. And then it's just like, that becomes your world, that becomes your view of everything that you do. And then when you do those 10 things and it doesn't work, then it's like, well, you know, I tried my best and that's it. Yeah. Those aren't the people that you're going to be able to influence with this introduction of this model to. So you shouldn't even really try. You have to find, like I said earlier, like you got to find the people who are struggling that want to get better in order to introduce this concept to them.
Right. I would agree.
Yeah. And it's got to come from them too. So you can't be like, I ask lots of questions. When I'm trying to get someone to come to a conclusion, I don't tell them. I just ask them questions. And if they can come to that conclusion on their own, then I've done my job. So it's like, you ask that person, you think like what you do is good enough, right? Like you get by, most of the people you work with, they get better, might not be a lot, but they get somewhat better. And that's great. And that's good for you. But when you're treating people, are you ever finding these exceptions, these exceptional scenarios that keep happening in this case and in this case, and you don't have an answer for, then that's when something like this can be important to try to like change your framework and see if you can find out where the reason why these exceptional things are happening.
Or why something didn't make the change that you expected it to make.
Yeah,
and this is one of those things about these complex situations. It's like these things are determined in hindsight. It's like you do something, you get a result. Okay. Now you might think that you have a good reason to do that. And you might be right or you might not. Doesn't really matter at this point. Then this similar scenario comes up and you go, oh, the last time I did this, if I do this, I should get this result. And then you don't. And then you have to ask yourself, it's like, okay, well, why didn't I? And now you have to have another reason as to why it didn't work this time. It's like, where was the interference under this circumstance? What was the other factor that could have influenced this? And this is how you build out. And then you determine, it's like, well, what are the possibilities to begin with? Like, what were the possible outcomes? And we may not get to the point where we can know all of them, but we can certainly gain an expanded representation of what is possible. From those possibilities now, this is where we find the principles, because if I have more possibilities of what could happen, I have more opportunities to ask the question why, and then I have more tests that I can do in clinic. So again, so you have to do something. So there's your intervention. Okay. And then you identify the response and then you do that over and over and over again. And this is why experience helps a lot as well, because by getting your reps in, now you have more exposures and you have more failures. And that's where you start to ask more questions. And the more questions you ask, then, like I said, you develop this understanding of like, oh, here's all these possibilities that could have happened. In which circumstance would this one be most likely? Now my percentage goes up. And this is where you get better. And now you're 87% accurate. Even though you could be 13% wrong, you're going to be more successful. And that's the goal. It's like nobody. Yeah. I had miserable failure yesterday, right? But we recouped and regrouped. We had a great outcome at the end.
What was the failure?
It was the ankle dude that we were talking about.
Okay.
Earlier.
What did you try first? What did you try first that didn't work that you had to kind of circle back to?
In regards to the foot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally just trying to recapture the, I was trying to maintain like a midfoot IR and gain the forefoot ER representation.
Okay.
But I had constant orientation that was interfering. In fact, I'll probably record this. Like I'll see him again today. I'll just record it and then we can throw that up.
Because that's how easy it is, okay. Bill. Once everything is set up, you just press a button and then you just do your thing.
Yes. I understand. Yeah. I understand. It's just the execution part that I have trouble with. It's very complex for me.
All right. Well, I think that's kind of what we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. It's good. Like, you probably won't like it, so it'll get like, 2,000 views.
Well, it depends on what the title is. If I say like simplifying the model, I don't know. Who knows? It could get 200. It could get 400. It could get 1,200.
I don't know that we simplified anything other than the understanding of why.
We did exactly what people complain about, where we start with a topic and then we don't actually answer the question of like, we don't actually simplify the model into like bullet points, right? Which is probably what people would expect us to talk about.
The simplification is taking place on the network.
Yeah.
It's being in that group and it's being exposed to the information, and it's getting the foundational representation from the first two courses. It's like, if you have that under your belt, now at least you have something to start comparing things to. And then there's been a bunch of questions already. All right. And then some of them actually, like in sequence, start to build this out. So you start to see how the framing works.
Right.
So that's what it's there. Yeah. It's there. So you can see this and you can ask questions and then you ask clarification and then you apply and then you make a mistake or you succeed and you say, well, why did this happen? And then we have the opportunity to like build this out in real time.
Right. I'm gonna. So, what was offered was like I'm imagining scenarios in which someone else would talk to someone who's not very familiar with this model, and ask mm-hmm. them about it. It's like, oh, have you ever looked into Bill Hartman's UHPC model? And then people's initial like gut reaction might be like, oh, that's too complicated, or oh, it seems too dogmatic. And it's like, before like jumping to the defense of it, you just need to ask the question like, well, why do you think that? And then mm-hmm. they're probably not going to be able to offer you any sort of elaboration because they've already taken the sort of emotional stance on it. Someone has either told them it was too complicated, or they looked at it, didn't immediately understand what it was and be able to put it in their pocket and just add it to their toolbox. So it just becomes too, oh, that's too dogmatic. It's too complicated.
It's okay.
You got to know your, like I mentioned earlier, you got to know your audience first. This person has to have sort of a beginner's mindset. They have to be able to like, they have to understand their own struggling moments and want to change them. And if they don't, if they're not that type of person, it's going to fall on deaf ears, and they're just going to get more and more defensive as you tell them that this thing is great and it's going to save them time and make them more efficient at what they do. They already decided they don't want to hear it. So don't even bother telling it to that person. But if you know the type of person who is sort of like always looking for a better answer, trying to narrow that gap so that if they were, 72% efficient, they want to become 80% efficient. And then in 20 years, they want to be like 94% efficient, getting to the point where you're like Bill and you're 98% efficient. Like it's 99.8%. I said it here.
I wish it was that. Well, you still have to work with people.
You put five clinicians in a room with the same person with the same problem. It's like my money is on, all five might help this person, right? But my money is on like this model. You as a clinician is going to do it fastest, quickest, with the best return on time and potentially the longer lasting effects, just because it's like, it's there is no like, rub on the elbow to make the pain go away and then it comes back. It's like getting to the root problem. It's the functional medicine route of movement. It's finding the root cause, addressing the root cause, realizing that the root cause and the way that movement behaviors are coherent with everything else. That's going to get you the quickest turnaround on change and give you the longest lasting effect in my experience. And I would say probably in your experience, I don't want you to toot your own horn too much.
All right. Like I said, all I have to do is spend a day in clinic and I stop tooting.
Yeah. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. Bill Hartman said he's the best. Everyone else is the worst. His model is the only model to use.
You're gonna edit that part out.
I'm the best.
I would never say that.
Nobody does what I do.
I would never, ever say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
There's people out there talking like that.
Everybody has good days and bad days.
I feel like that all the time. I feel like I got it all figured out. And then a week later, I'm like, I suck. This is like, why do people pay me? I don't do anything. Yeah.
The scar on my forehead from banging my head on the steering wheel on the way home from work is evidence that everybody struggles.
The bump on my forehead is evidence of me throwing my hands behind me when I fell down on my face when I was little, instead of putting them out in front of me. My parents were like, yeah, when you would fall down, you would just throw your arms behind your head and just smash your face into the ground instead of putting them. That's self-preservation right there.
You're just toughening. That's all.
Yeah. The little notch on my forehead. All right. See you, everybody.